invite you to take these and read them at your convenience, hopefully before the end of the day. That way, if you have a question, you can find one of us and ask us before you leave here, or you know how to get a hold of us. You can ask through technology or phone calls as well. But tomorrow morning, we do have adult Bible study, which is at 10 o'clock. Also, this Wednesday night, we're going to, I believe, put our heaven study on a hold for a week or so. And our WMU and GAs are going to be leading emphasis on the Heck Jones Mission Offering, which is the WMU offering. They're going to be leading Wednesday night. We hope you'll be here for that, as our GAs, I know, are going to be actively involved in leading us this Wednesday night. Also, we have College Parkers this Thursday. I'm looking forward to it. We have a great pianist, if I'm not mistaken, that's going to be here sharing with us that day. It'll be a great time of good food, fellowship, and music for us to enjoy together. Our ushers now are going to come down forward and go down the aisles. If you're a guest with us, we have some information we would like to give you. We're not going to hound you with information. We would just like to give you a little bit of information about us, so you know a little bit more about how we do things here at College Park. Yesterday, we ended our Hoops for Him basketball season. I know a few of our players are here in this service today, and we had a great season with Hoops for Him this year. I only caught the last half of it, but two of our teams actually made it to the championship Saturday, just yesterday, and one of our teams, our youngest team, our junior co-ed team, actually won the championship in a blowout fashion, so we want to congratulate them. And if you missed the game and you happened to catch the Wake State game, the score was very similar between how they won. And so please pray for Jeff, but that's all right. But it's great to be in God's house this morning. It's great to be at a church that supports all of its areas of ministry. Yesterday, I was tickled to death to see so many of you at the game just supporting people, even though you really didn't have anybody connected other than your church family was playing, and how special that is. Even the league director talked about how College Park not only loves its team, but loves all the other teams that play. And it's great to be in God's house this morning with you as a body. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for the gift of your Son, which unites us all. Father, this morning as we gather corporately, allow us to tune out all the distractions of the world. Help us with that, God, and help us to focus on you and worship you, because how great of a God you are, and you're worthy of our praise. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
morning. It's good to see everybody. Everybody, take Rebecca, you're never in shoes, but I like Jordan's shoes. Hey, speaking of shoes, I've got a question for you. I want you to think in your head, what is the, like, one of the things that your mom or dad wants you to do at home that you just don't want to do? What's something like, Rebecca, clean your room? Yes, that's a good answer. All right. Wash the dishes. What else? Something, Rebecca, do the laundry. What doesn't want to do? What? Homework. Now, that's another one. Okay. Now, how do they get you motivated to do that thing? Like, wash the dishes. Gives you money? Yes. You can get paid? Oh, they got money just rolling at Mary's house, just rolling. How else? How does your mom motivate you to do your homework? Sometimes if you don't do this, you're in trouble, right? But sometimes they say they'll give us some money or they'll give us something, give us a new toy or something for our phone or whatever. Sometimes we kind of treat God that way. God, I'll do this if you do this. Sometimes God, we pray, God, will you please do this for me? And sometimes that's not the best thing. Pastor Raymond this morning is going to talk a little bit about how, guess what? Do you need to do anything for God to love you anymore? Can you make God love you any more than he does right now? No. He loves you just like you are. You can't do anything to make him love you more. You can't do anything to make him love you any less. He loves you. That's who he is. And because he loves us, because he chooses to love us, shouldn't we do things to make him happy because he already loves us? Not to get something out of it. Shouldn't we show God how much we love him just because he loves us? That's what Pastor Raymond is going to talk about this morning. It's not to get money. I don't love God to get money. I don't love God because he gives me stuff. I love God and because I'm thankful that he loved me first. That is why we love God, not so we can get something out of it. Okay? Think about that this way. That's a big idea. But you always love God first, and he will take care of everything else. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you loved us first and that all you require of us is just to love you back. You can't love us any more or less by what we do or say or think. You love us for who we are. And because you love us, help us to love you and to show other people how thankful we are for that love. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seats now. Good job. Ministry of God's Word comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30. You'll find this in your pew Bible, page 147. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Be reading from the New International Version. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before your life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Will you pray with me? Father, this beautiful Sunday morning, we are reminded of your presence in our lives. We know that you're here in this place through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We know that you're here. We sense you. We feel your presence. And if we had nothing else today, that would be enough. But Father, you have blessed us beyond measure with your forgiveness and your salvation, your mercy and your grace. And Father, that is the message that our world needs to hear. That you are a God of inclusion and love. And in you, people find rest and peace. Father, I pray that as we consider your words today and what you might have for us, that we would hear your call not as an obligation, but we would hear your words to us as a response to the love you already have for us. Out of the gratitude for who you are, may we hear this challenge and respond to the call, because our world lives in darkness and needs your light. And we are the ones called to share that light. No matter where we live, no matter where we are, there are people who are hurting, who are struggling with death, sickness, disease, desperation. There are people in our pews and in our community who desperately needs the love of Christ and the forgiveness that his salvation offers. May we be the vehicle through which that message can be proclaimed. May we have the courage to see a need and to meet it as Jesus would. May we have the passion for our neighbors, to love them as we love ourselves. Thank you for this time of worship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. What a gorgeous day. And in the middle of February. Tomorrow, pitchers and catchers report to spring training. As a baseball fan, that's always a special day. This time of the year, everybody's a contender. Everyone has the opportunity for a fresh start and a new beginning. And isn't that what each one of us is promised through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Through Him, every day, we're presented with that chance for a fresh start, that opportunity for a new beginning. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. And I am especially thankful for that opportunity. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We gather today to offer you praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for our own fresh start, our own new beginning. What a glorious opportunity that is for all of us. Give us the wisdom to recognize it for what it is and the courage to act upon it. We ask that you bless this church and its congregation. We're thankful for such a caring place to come worship you. We thank you for all the blessings of life and the opportunity to share them with others. We pray for the leaders of our country, especially now in these turbulent times. Guide them in thy will. And we especially pray for the members of our armed services, both home and abroad. Protect them as they protect us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
as promised, last week we did Psalm 112, and we talked about the fact that for the next couple weeks we're going to kind of pause from gospel readings or epistle readings and kind of focus in on Psalms, and it was a method to my madness. I wanted us to talk about blessings, and both of these Psalms offer an opportunity. So 112 last week, 119 this week. And in my preparation time, the Interpreter's Bible, Pastor Christopher Holdsworth, and I went back to the Broadman commentary. That's probably one of the oldest sets of commentaries I have, and just some really neat insights there. So kind of pull all that together, and we come to Psalm 119. This psalm, like 112, which we studied last week, again, is an alphabetic acrostic poem, the stanzas of which begin with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Moreover, the verses of each stanza begin with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this is particularly helpful, this structure-wise is particularly helpful because it gives the poem, it gives the psalm a lot of beauty. And it helps with memorization. And if you think about Psalm 119... you need help with memorization because it is 176 verses long. So I hope you brought your lunch. I'm not going to read all of them. Just so you know, we will read the first eight, and there was a sigh of relief among the congregation. We'll read the first eight primarily because that is our lectionary text, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Hear God's word. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. I think before we go too far, we need to acknowledge right up front that the word blessed here, especially in verse 1 and 2, the word blessed here is not a verb. Okay, it's much more akin to noun than it is verb, because it describes a state of being, not an activity. So if you want to read it a little more literally, understand we are blessed not because we walk in the law of the Lord, but rather we walk in the law of the Lord because we are blessed. There's a big distinction between those two. Big distinction. Let me say it again for you. We are blessed not because we walk in the law of the Lord, but rather we walk in the law of the Lord because we are blessed. Does that make sense? I mean, You have to be careful about your cause and effect statements here. It's because we are blessed that we walk in the law of the Lord. So with that in mind, I think it's important for us to understand that if we accept and settle for the state of Adam, in other words, the sinful man, the sinful part of our being, if we settle for that kind of being or existence, if we settle for that, we cannot possibly attain the ideals of the Torah, of God's law, of God's instruction, or God's commands, as it says in Psalm 112 and as it says late in this verse 6. If we settle for the state of Adam, then we cannot attain the ideals of the Torah, of God's law of instruction, of His commands. And those commands are celebrated throughout the Psalms. So we have to figure out where it is we need to exist in order to celebrate these laws. And we've already touched on it. It's because we are blessed that we walk in the law of the Lord. And striving to keep the law serves only to highlight our inability to keep the law without Christ. Galatians 2, verse 16 says, I know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be glorified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one can be justified. Paul's saying it won't happen. If you depend upon the law, it's not going to happen for you. You cannot be justified before God if you depend upon the law. Jesus himself said, I have not come to tear down the law, but to fulfill it. Paul is saying, you know, I'm Pharisee of Pharisees. He wasn't saying that to brag. What he was making the point was, as a Pharisee of Pharisees, I know the law. I know them probably better than y'all do. That's what he's saying. He said, but I also know that I cannot be justified by the law. It's only through Jesus Christ. And we should be thankful then that we are saved by grace through faith, not works. In Ephesians 2, Paul writes, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Not even Paul, the Pharisee of Pharisees. Not even he can boast. That's what he's saying. So if you say, okay, then what precipitated this blessed state of being for us? What is it that precipitated all of this? What makes the difference in our relationship with God? It was something completely outside of ourselves. It was something forensic whereby we were proclaimed to be the undefiled or the blameless, as it says in verse 1 in the New International Version. How are we blameless before God? Say it louder, sister. It's only because of the cross. It is only because of the cross of Jesus. By his sacrifice, we are made, quote, right with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans 5:1. In Christ, we have been made right with God. In Christ, we have been made right with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the answer. He is the key to our relationship with God. So the undefiled, the blameless are those who are found in him and who choose to be obedient and who walk in the law of the Lord. This is kind of a positive counterbalance to Psalm 1:1, which tells us that the blessed man is the one who walks in not in the counsel of the ungodly. So understand there's balance there. And as I was looking through and as I was studying, I was reading, and I went all the way through Psalm 119 to get a better feel of context. Read the whole thing sometimes, maybe not in one sitting, but read the whole thing. There's a certain bit of flow and context to it because the psalmist uses eight different words in the course of this psalm to talk about the instructions of the Lord. And they basically mean kind of the same thing. They're translated in various ways, but it's kind of the same concept. And I ask myself, why the variety? Why don't they just say the commands of the Lord? Why don't they just say the law? Because that's basically what they're saying every time. Why the variety of terms? And my answer, after reading several commentaries, I kept coming back to this thing of, it's a poem. It's a poem. It's meant to be multi-layered. It's meant to be beautiful. It's meant to have a lot of texture to it. Because it is a poem, it's meant to have beauty. Because the poet wants people to understand and to memorize it, to hold it in their heart. He gives it texture. He gives it beauty. So you would want to memorize it and hold it within. So that's part of what's going on here. The variety of terms as you read through Psalm 119, they all mean pretty much the same thing. It's the law of God. It's the commands of God. It's His desire for us. No matter how it's translated, it's the same concept. God desires the best for us. So He knows the best for us is to be obedient to Him. It's for our own good. Let's go back to our text now. Verse 2, there's a second beatitude there. Blessed. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. We fall short if we do not walk the walk. The world's tired of this. They get this all the time. They want to see the walk. There's a lot of talk, there's a lot of negative press about millennials' generation. There's nothing wrong with the millennial generation other than the fact they're tired of listening to this. They want to see faith that's authentic. They don't want to hear about it all the time. They want to see it. And then most of them will tell you that. Why aren't you in church? Because I know too many people go to church. Yeah. We need to walk the walk with Jesus Christ. He told us in Luke 9:23, He said, take up your cross daily. Follow me. Walk with me. Learn from me. Become more like me. We are joint heirs with Christ. So we should strive. We should strive to be more like Him. But understand, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven by good works. You can't earn it because we're already there. You can't earn your grace. You accept it. But the work should come with the faith. It should be a manifestation of our faith. James 2:18 reminds us of that. Demonstrate your faith by your works. You can't earn your faith by it, but you can certainly walk the walk. We are God's workmanship. Claim that. We are a child of the King. Act like it. Claim it. First and foremost, we are saved unto good works, as Ephesians 2:10 says. And then after we read verse 2 about the blessing, there's a forensic statement that follows in verse 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Now, this is not just hyperbole. It is the way that God views all His people. Now, if you think about it, when someone paints a portrait, or let's say in the digital age, they take a picture, they make a selfie, all right? And with all the high resolution that's out there now, if you take a selfie and then you kind of do this number and get a lot of detail, you go, wow, really? I look like that? Seriously? Or in the morning when you get up and you just turn on the nightlight in the bathroom because you don't want to wake your spouse. And with that little bit of light as you look in the mirror, you go, wow, I look pretty good this morning. Uh-huh. And then after your spouse gets up and you look at yourself in daylight, you went, what happened? I look so good this morning. With just a little bit of light on me, I look pretty good. But in the full daylight, you go, whoa, seriously? You see, but that's not how the Father looks upon us. He doesn't see all the warts and all. He doesn't see all that. He sees the perfection of the indwelling Jesus as He looks upon us. Otherwise, He could not look upon us. Do you understand that? When He looks upon us, He sees the indwelling of His Son because we are believers. Otherwise, he could not bear to look upon us. That's the nature of the relationship. There's a song that we've done in 9 o'clock service called Flawless by the band Mercy Me. And I'll be honest with you, when we first heard the song and we started talking about it, well, yeah, we'd like to do this song. I mean, it's got a nice little groove. Drummer likes it. Let's play it. Let's play it. Bass player likes it. You know, it's got good harmonies. Yeah, it's a good singable song. But as we read the text, we're like, flawless. Seriously? Is that really good theology for us to proclaim that we're flawless? And you have to go back. You have to go back to God's word and understand that we are innocent. Because of the cross, we are flawless. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It means we're a child of the King. And he can look upon us because as he looks upon us, he sees the perfection of his indwelling Son. And until we get that concept, we lead defeated lives because we choose to lead defeated lives. It's critical that we understand it. The psalmist continues, verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your commandments diligently. Yes, he has. But then there's a little tinge of regret in the exclamation that follows that in verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. God, we know that you've commanded this. Please help me. Please help me that my heart lines up with yours. That's what it's saying. Acknowledging none of us keeps the law perfectly, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's 1 John 2:1 if you want to write it down and claim it as your life verse. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. None righteous except he. And yet, because he indwells us, that's what the Father sees. Our desire should be to keep all of God's commandments. I think that's a given, right? That should be our desire. Our desire should be to keep all of God's commandments, especially as they are summarized in the greatest commandment of all. You remember the context? Pharisees, Sadducees, always trying to trick Jesus. What's the greatest commandment, Jesus? Here's where we get you. Here's where you stumble. And Jesus said, no. Luke chapter 10, I'll read the Luke account of it. Luke chapter 10, verse 27, and he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all of your mind. And love your as yourself. That pretty much covers it if you think about it. Then we need not be ashamed, as verse 6 says. Need not be ashamed. If we're doing that, if we're loving the Lord with all that we have and all that we are, and we're loving our neighbor as ourself, then we need not be ashamed. And we must make all due diligence to learn God's righteous judgments and to praise him with a pure heart. That's what verse 7 is saying. Learn more about God daily by reading his word and following his son's example. That is the way you get to know God. That is the way your heart becomes more and more pure before God, according to verse 7. And then he wraps this section up in verse 8. He says, I will obey your decrees. Another translation says, I will keep your statutes, which is followed by kind of a wistful, almost regretful petition. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Do not forsake me. Father, because I acknowledge I have been blessed, because I want to, I desire deeply with all of my heart to follow your commands, because I know what's best for me, and that's your will. Because I want all of that, please don't forsake me. I'm trying as hard as I can. With your strength, I'll do better. That is what I desire. You see, we may always have regrets for past failures. I get that. Some days I live that. We may have regrets for past failures, but we cannot dwell on that. We cannot let Satan beat us up and make us lead defeated lives because we're constantly thinking, I wish I had, I wish I had, I wish I had. You learn from it. Move on. Accept God's forgiveness in your own life and move on. We must learn to have resolve by the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life that pleases God daily. Tomorrow, forevermore, until He returns for us or until we go to meet Him. That should be our desire. Why? Because we are truly blessed. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. God, you have blessed us beyond, it seems silly to even say beyond what we deserve, because we know we deserve, what we deserve is not what we want. And Father, you have chosen to bless us as your children because of that unfailing, profound love that we don't fully understand, but we accept it with a grateful heart. God, we pray that that love would be manifest in our own lives through our obedience to your word and through our love for other people. And as we do that, we point others to you and you receive the glory. Father, forgive our frailties, forgive our shortcomings. Father, remind us that once you've forgiven us, we need to forgive ourselves and move on. To lead the kind of lives that give glory to you, not to some sort of defeated ideal. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray and claim the victory. Amen. If you're here this morning and you are leading a life that's defeated because you do not have a relationship with Christ, that is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. That is the only decision in your life that will determine eternity for you. I challenge you this morning, if you do not know Christ, I'll be here in the front when we sing in just a minute. I'll be glad to talk with you, tell you how you can receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are here and you are a believer, but yet you're still kind of leading a defeated life because there's so much regret and everything, it just overwhelms you, turn loose of that. Turn loose of it today. Forgive yourself just as God has forgiven you. Move on. Move forward. Live a life of victory because you are a child of the King. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this church, I can tell you I highly recommend it. I say that every Sunday, but I do. I highly recommend it. There are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that. It would stand and sing together now. Thank you. invite you, be sure to look around you. We're going to have benediction and then the choral response. Look around you before you leave. If you see a guest here, be sure and greet them. Make them feel welcome. Tell them you're glad that maybe even take them to lunch today. Yeah, give that an offer there. And be sure to encourage one another. Speak a word. That's why we come together as the body of Christ, to offer encouragement to one another. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this time that we've enjoyed. Father, help us to take what we've learned this morning, apply it to our lives. Father, that we would walk more in accordance with your word and your will than our own selfish desires. Father, help our walk to match up with your word so that others can come to know you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.